Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we praise you. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, be with us in these days to come and fill us with your life, as was already done at the cross. And Lord, we thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for your chosen, Lord, that you're bringing forth and bringing into the glory of God. Thank you for all things, Father, that you work together for our good. Amen. Well, okay, saints, I have an awesome revelation here. It's really a warfare manual. And appreciate it if you'd grab a pencil and take some notes to pray and to do warfare. We got a battle to fight, and we're going to win it. And thank you, Father. Well, I want to talk to you about what's coming and leading up to a major judgment in America and the world upon the wicked. And but God's preparing for that. I think we're going to call this Escaping Factious Death. And several revelations here to share with you. They're all about directions from God as how to pray and how to do warfare and so on. So please pay attention. This first one was given to Matthew Stewart on 5/30/17. And said the dream started like this. There was a bay and houses up and down the bay. I suspect that the bay represents, since Abraham's seed are those on the shore. Seashore, right? The sands of the sea. And the sea in Book of Revelation represents the peoples of the world. That's what we're talking about here. And the waters were a teal blue. And in the middle of the shoreline was his house where two women were living. These women were Muslim, but converted to Christianity, and were hiding Christians. And there was a fence on either side of the house. Well, that's interesting. I've got a lot to say about this before I go on with this. The Muslims here represent the lost religious people of the handmaid in Galatians 4. Who think that they know God, but are constantly trying to convert the true Christians through force to their way. Also, to Paul, these two women are two types of Christians. They represent two groups, the free woman and true Christian, typed by Sarah, and the handmaid, typed by Hagar, who is in bondage to false Christian religion and under its laws. Now, they both claim the one house of Christianity. They both believe that they're in it, but only one is truly in it and will truly be chosen, and that is the one that doesn't fall, right? Galatians 4 and 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Howbeit the son of the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son of the free woman is born through promise. In other words, by believing the promises, they are born again. All right? Born from above, not just what the church calls born again, which is the spirit born, but the soul being born again, bearing the fruit of the spirit man, right? Which things contain an allegory, for these women are two covenants. He's telling you another type, mixing another type in with this. There are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children unto bondage, which is Hagar. You know, the faction are in bondage because they reject the commands, the promises. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. These are the spiritual Edomites and Ishmaelites, you know, who fight against their brethren with hatred and viciousness. And they're all under laws, rules and regulations of men. I had a man who was in the faction some time back, sent me a big long teaching that he did on Judaism, dragging Christians back under the law. And the holy name, of course, Jesus didn't use the holy name. Jesus called him Father. And in Jeremiah, we are told that we will call him Father. We have a closer relationship than those under the law had, a different relationship. Okay. But this person, of course, couldn't be justified by the New Testament, so he turned away from it and turned to law. He can do things under the law that make you feel good, but it's a covenant that passed away, and he doesn't know it anymore. He did know that, but it's just gone. And that's happened to a lot of the factious people. Turned back to the law to seek to be justified. Okay. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. In other words, rejoice, you spiritual Sarah is out there, because the promised man-child is coming. All right? For more are the children of the desolate, in other words, the spiritual Hagars, than of her that hath the husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so also it is now. It is now. Notice, the ones doing the persecuting are the ones that are born of Hagar, the bondwoman. They're not going to inherit, as the next verse says, with the son of the free woman. Albeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son. Now that's what's happening through faction. This is exactly what's happening. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Do you hear that? It is true. It is still true today. All you got to do is identify these types and what they do, and you'll know. So it's a very dangerous thing to fall into this. Many are not going to come out of it, and they're not going to live. Those that repent can, of course, join the free woman. Well, below this revelation here, we see that the son of the handmaid was cast out of Christianity through spiritual death because they're in bondage to false Christian religion instead of serving the Christ of the Word. You can't make factious people understand the Word. It's just totally gone from them. It's a reprobation spirit. Wherefore, brethren, brethren means Christians, we're not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. He's, of course, trying to convince these people who are trying to go back under the law and be Hagarites, you know, that they're of the free woman. They're not to do this. They're not to go back under the rules and regulations of men. So, basically, Paul is saying, change your mind about being under rules and regulations and doctrines that are not in the nature of the New Testament relationship with God. And that's what faction is, because they turn to other things. I've seen them turn to Mormonism. I mean, after they had gone through our teachings and things, that is a reprobation. I've seen them turn to Baptistism, Mormonism, different isms out there that are not a full gospel relationship, and justified by different things that they do. They always fall into that because they know they can't be justified by what the Bible says. So, and in the time when Jesus comes manifested by word and spirit in the man-child body, there will be a cutting off of the handmaid who cannot inherit with the free woman. Zechariah 13 and 7 through 9 says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd." Okay, so this was fulfilled with Jesus, and now it's fulfilled with Jesus in the man-child body, because Jesus said he was going to come once again as a baby boy born to a woman, right, in John 16. In other words, on a much larger scale, history is being repeated. So, and the sheep shall be scattered. Oh, they did that. The faction did that. They scattered sheep. And those that fall to faction or denominationalism, which is just another form of it, instead of following the Lord, they follow the religions, even the religions of Christianity, which are totally apostate and don't bring people into the image of Jesus Christ. "And I will turn my hand upon the little ones." So he scatters them, he turns his hand upon the little ones. "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part into the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Praise God. So back to the revelation given to Matthew. There were big ships in the bay, cruise ships, cargo ships, etc. But compared to the bay, the ships looked small. One of the ships came in and stopped about 50 feet from shore, and two or three men got off the ship. These men were Isis and came into the house. Now this is the house of Christianity, of which some are sons of the handmaid and some are sons of the free woman. Okay? Came into the house. Now, although in the natural, Isis has been brought into this country to destroy Christianity by the Satanist elites and Muslim Obama and so on, and we will see some of this, but this is a spiritual revelation. So we have to look for the spirit in this, which is more important to us right now. Isis here represents the Isis of Christianity, the factious. And they come into the house to spiritually slay those who are not hidden in Christ through faith, which is the secret place of the Most High. Matthew 23 and 15 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves." You think he was kidding? The disciples were all raised up in Judaism, you know. Do you think he is kidding that they turn them into sons of hell? No. Is that true in Christianity? Yes. Yeah. This factious false leadership crucified the man-child, Jesus, and killed his disciples. And history repeats in our day, except first the letter is fulfilled of prophecy, and then the spirit is fulfilled of prophecy, right? We're seeing the spiritual aspect of this happening today in the church. They started going through the whole house to find the Christians. Some they found and some they didn't. The ones they found, they killed. Well, you know what it is when infection kills somebody, right? Those under the law of religion and not in right relationship to the Lord are bound and will be bundled as tares with no fruit unless truly converted by the revival that comes. Matthew 13 and 30 says, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them." Now that's what he's doing. "But gather the wheat into my barn." The word of the Lord is being fulfilled. Matt said, "I did not see them being killed in the dream, but in my spirit I knew that they killed them and how they killed them. They hanged some, by lies and witchcraft. They cut them off from the breath or spirit of God. They beheaded some," in other words, removing from them the mind of the spirit or the mind of Christ. "And some they strung up and cut to pieces." In other words, using faction, they dismembered them from the free woman, from the true body. So, we are not speaking of physical death here. Many will die a martyr's death who are righteous. But those unfruitful tares hidden among the wheat die a spiritual death, as when the factious poison and dismemberment comes, because they don't love the Lord. They're sent a delusion that they'll believe a lie, right? And, of course, they're not obedient to Him. It's not important. Those that love the Lord are obedient to Him. The bride loves the Lord. And the church, those who are the true church, those who have come out from among them, church means ecclesia, means the come-outers, basically, those will be proven in the days to come. Matt said, when they were done, they went back to the ship and left. And more Christians came by boat or land to hide there. So more converts will come to Christianity, but still have to be sanctified, don't they? Or else be weeded from the body to sanctify the body, right? The tribulation is all about this, saints, is to find out, in good times, lots of people can be Christians, they can talk the talk. But they can't walk the walk. The tribulation comes to prove who is who. And even now, before the tribulation, the bride and the man-child have gone through their own tribulation to prove who these people are, because they are the foundation for the coming revival. The Muslim men came back and went through the house again. And some they found, and some they didn't. They killed the ones they found. Those, in other words, those who were not hidden in Christ. And what is it to be hidden in Christ? 1 John 2:24. "As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father." See, the trial comes to get you to give up the word for other motives, unclean motives, right? And we know that Esau sold his birthright because he had an unclean motive and because he hated his brother, right? Then Matt said, this was repeated one more time, and then I woke up. Now, Let me say something about this one more time. He doesn't describe this one, but he describes it in a next revelation or dream. Okay. The faction attacks come in waves to test to see who is a fruitless tare without the love of the brethren and not obedient to the word. And notice that above, Matt witnessed two faction attacks, just as he has since being here locally. He's seen two faction attacks. And notice in this part, we're told the test will come once more. We're still getting Judas and crucifixion of the man-child verses in our morning meetings regularly. And matter of fact, we often get two or more in every meeting, which is very strange, except the Lord is warning us, this is coming, this is coming, this is coming. You see, we're coming to the tribulation. Everything has to be ready before the tribulation. And before the tribulation, the man-child has to be chosen. Before the tribulation, the bride has to be chosen. This is a choosing of the bride. It is a separating those from the bride body who do not choose God and His Word over and above their own selfish motives. Okay? So all this has to be done. I believe we're coming to the end here, the end of this selection period. And I believe it's coming quickly. And the verses that we're receiving in our morning meetings are just like that. They're telling us, this is coming. Pray. This is coming, you know. And this has to happen before the man-child is resurrected to the throne authority. When a Passover judgment comes over the earth, I believe by Planet X, Nibiru, right? The fallen economy, earthquakes, tsunamis, martial law, captivity. Yes, yes, many are going to go into captivity, as we've received many verses to show us that. And it is those who have not overcome to be in the bride. As you know, the bride did not go into the beast captivity in when the Assyrian army came in. They conquered everybody but the bride, Jerusalem. And then the tribulation wilderness is brought on by these things. What could make a wilderness? And what could make a wilderness in which people, all the people of God, the true people of God, would flee into the wilderness to escape? Like we see in Revelation 12. What would cause that? Something tremendous, where they would get a revelation, oh, these people have been right. This is the tribulation. We are in the end times, and no, we can't walk in two worlds any longer. You know, it's amazing, amazing. Something is coming to open the eyes, and a baptism in the Spirit is going to be broadly given to the people of God who go into the wilderness, just as it was on the edge of the Red Sea, right? Well, this could be the one more time that is yet to come. Matt said, when I went back to sleep, the dream continued, but this time I came from a ship to hide in the house from ISIS with my buddy. I don't know who this was, but he was very close to me. We were both Christians in the military, meaning the Lord's army, right? And we hid in the house with other Christians. Okay, so this could be the one more time. Let's see. These two men represent the son of the free woman, which is Matt, and the son of the handmaid, his close buddy, who cannot inherit with the free woman's son. He will be taken out by faction or ISIS as and become a persecutor, right? So this is the I believe the last step, you know. Galatians 4:29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. so also it is now. Howbeit, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. And as we have seen, the factious test proves who is and, well, who is who, I guess, and casts out the handmaid and her son, who cannot inherit the promise to bring forth the chosen fruit, right? Hagar couldn't do it. Even Abraham wanted Ishmael to be chosen by God. He said, nope, not going to take him. And, of course, that's spiritually, not physically. Anybody in the whole wide world, doesn't matter what race, and doesn't matter what religious background, if you choose Christ and choose to obey him, you're one of his. Right? This thing is coming to force the choice. The tribulation is coming to force the choice. The mark of the beast is coming to force the choice. Some people say, oh, we got to stop that mark of the beast. No, you can't stop that. It was ordained by God. He already told you that he was going to do this. How are you going to stop it? And what is the purpose of it? The purpose is to make the separation. Because already the apostates in Christianity are figuring out how they can take the mark of the beast and be just fine. You see? They're already proving who they are. And, you know, these verses, Galatians 4, 29, 30, 31, I originally applied these verses on 6:3. But gave it to nobody. And Missy just received this same text for the morning meeting on 6:8, confirming this scenario. And nobody knew about this. I didn't share it with anybody at that time at all. And Matt said, I was talking to the women, one of which was my wife, and I saw the ISIS ship coming. So I went to hide. ISIS came in and went through the house. I was hiding in a closet in one of the bedrooms. One of the men came into the room and opened the door to the closet, and he saw me. He ordered me to come out and told me that he had to kill me. Well, this ISIS man was a young man in his 20s and didn't have the drive or commitment the other ISIS men had. So I shook his hand and said, thank you for doing what you should do. Oh, God likes a little humor in dreams. Well, we can see here that Matt's statement that in reality the faction are doing the kingdom a service in causing us to get right with the Father or be removed from the body, sanctifying a spotless and blemishless bride. Also, he was exhorting him to do what is right, as if he were a friend, like Judas was. Psalm 41 and 9 says, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And also Psalm 55 and 13, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. And so it has been with the faction. It's been exactly that way. Then the man looked at me funny and then disappeared. The factious are unable to kill a son of the free woman. He is the seed of the promised revival, right? Matt said, I knew that they had found some of the Christians, including my buddy, and that they had killed them. Well, you know, Jude 1 and 12 says, these are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts when they feast with you. The ASV says shepherds, but there's no numeric pattern in shepherds. So it just goes like this. When they feed with you, that without fear feed themselves. Clouds without water, which is the word, right? Carried along by the winds of doctrines, and boy have they ever. Autumn leaves without fruit. Dead leaves, no fruit. Twice dead, which means, of course, they were born again, but died again, and plucked up by the roots. Mm-hmm. Then I woke up, and I was terrified of the dream. I have not had a dream like that, but I am sure it won't be the last one. Well, let me say something that we've believed from the beginning, because the Lord showed us that these people who fall in this death will have another chance to be resurrected. Rachel wept because, as contemporaries of the man-child Jesus, her children were put to death by Herod, representing the factious beast. But for some who were killed by faction, there will be a resurrection, because Jeremiah 31 and 15 says, thus saith the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refuseth to be comforted for her children, because they are not. Now this was quoted, of course, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, because these children were killed by Herod's soldiers, and yet the man-child escaped. But now we're seeing, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Notice that the land of the enemy is death. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. The land of the enemy is death. He said they will come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope for thy latter end, says the Lord, and thy children shall come again to their own border. Oh, praise God. Now, we've received very clearly that not all will come back. Some are forever reprobated. They will never see God again. They will follow their ways. They will be persecutors and so on. But they will also be judged in the earth. And many of them will be wiped out with the coming of the man-child ministry. As you know, David judged Edom right off when he became king, which is a type of the man-child ministry. He judged Edom. And, you know, in Ezekiel 34, there is the man-child ministry taking over. When God was fed up with the ministers, he gave them into the hand of the man-child ministry. And then 35 is all about the judgment of Edom. Matt said, I asked for a word concerning the dream by random and got Revelation 5 and 6. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing as though it had been slain. Yes, but is now alive, obviously, right? Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, what is this saying? Well, Jesus bore the curse of sin and death so that we may escape. That's obvious. The testing is to see who really believes and acts on this. Remember Galatians 3 and 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, okay, do the man-child in our day have a right to escape the curse of sin and of death? Of course. Do the rest of the people have the right? Of course. Will they? We'll find out. We'll find out who will. It's important to believe the Word, all of the Word. If you want all of Christ, you have to receive all of the Word. The Word is Christ, right? So then Brandy Arnie on 531 received what we're calling Crucifying the Davids. Okay. As you know, many dreams come so that we pray away particular parts of them, because they're warnings of what would happen if we didn't. But Jesus said, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, there's one thing we can't avoid, and that's the crucifixion of self. We can avoid death. There are actually going to be people alive and remaining to the coming of the Lord, and that's going to be because they have done just that, because the last enemy to be conquered is death. The last enemy. There are some who think they're going to be in the rapture and resurrection without overcoming the other enemies. But both of these destroy death. Okay? So in the dream, we were in a dining room, Brandy said. I looked over to my right just in time to see a man picking David up by his throat. He was lifting David off the floor and pushing him up against the wall. As the man released David's throat, David started to fall. And another man quickly grabbed David's feet and pulled him so quickly that he couldn't catch himself before the back of his head hit the floor very hard. I ran quickly to David, who was unconscious, and tried to wake him. The man asked, "Is he gone?" Brandy said, "You killed him." Well, this is a warning of what the factious and their Lord Satan plan to do so that we can pray against the dragon being able to devour the man-child David's, right? We know it doesn't happen in Revelation 12, right? And it's not going to happen because we believe the Word. I believe the only death the Davids will suffer at their hands is the death to self by spiritual crucifixion. Because we know that has to happen, right? And that's because, as in Matt's dream, Jesus bore our curse of sin and of death. So Brandy said, I stood up and grabbed the throat of the man as he said, "He broke my nose." That was their excuse. "He broke my nose." Well, the nose represents a discernment that is neither hearing nor seeing. Right? Something beyond the physical, right? The nose discerns the invisible, like the spirit world. Hearing and seeing, you know, they're totally different forms of discernment. Very good, necessary, but this is one that's very important. If you don't have discernment, you will fall for anything. And the faction do not have this from the time the demons enter in them. Their nose is broken. And I've seen over the years that the factious people live under curses sent by God because of their lack of discernment. But the demons always tell them it is not God who is judging them, but David who is doing this. It's David who is sending these curses to them. It's David. And of course, and I've had them tell me that. I've had them tell me that, and they've told their people that. They've passed it on to other people. Yeah, he's sending these curses. Well, this infuriates them. You know, the curse that is causeless alighteth not, right? And this infuriates them to be driven to assassinate my character. And I'm a type of the Davids in a lot of dreams and visions and things. And we call this crucifying the Davids. And of course, then they can claim that they're righteous and we're evil. Right? Because it's not God judging them, it's us. Right? Well, I know that's happening because I've heard them say it, I've seen it in writing, and so on. Brandy said, I noticed that he had a bloodied pig snout for a nose. For, you know what a pig is. I mean, he is just whole hog for slop. Right? Yeah, the factious, their god is their belly, meaning they walk to please their flesh like a pig does. Right? Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is perdition. You know, like the son of perdition? You remember what Judas did? Turned against Jesus. He turned factious. He had a spirit of rejection. He got corrected by Jesus. He went nuts, just like a lot of the faction did, by the way. Whose end is perdition. Jesus was called the son of perdition. Whose god is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. Who mind earthly things. And also 2 Peter 2:22. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. So God is using all of these people to perfect a righteous people that they crucified just as it was in Jesus' day. Everything is happening on a larger scale, right? And then we received Anna Stewart's revelation on 6:2. And we called it Driven to Kill the Davids. In a dream, I just knew that we knew that the enemy's main objective is to spiritually kill David. I thought, is that even possible? I knew that these spirits were going to try everything they could to kill David. Well, this is kind of where the Judas and the factious Pharisees come in, right? Of our day, right? History repeats. And when I woke up, I was reminded of Brandy's dream, which we just shared. Okay. David and Michael visited our house, and David was telling us that he saw a factious brother in a dream or a vision, walking through hell, and he had a chain in his hand. At the end of the chain was Jesus, crawling on his hands and knees, and covered in blood, and very marred. I think they were going towards the cross. Okay, so if he's doing it today, what do you think it means? See, when you crucify one of Jesus' children, you crucify him. Because he is the spiritual man, and Jesus lives in the man-child. So this factious man is crucifying David at this time. I mean, in the natural at this time. So he's been used as a type here. He's a type of many just like him. Matthew 25:40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me. When they crucify the Davids, they crucify Jesus. Hebrews 6:6. They crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Amen. Jesus kept going forward, and the factious brother was just kind of la-di-da in his own little world, not knowing what was going on, not seeing what was going on. I thought, how could that be when we've been told he's coming back? Well, the Lord is coming back in the Davids through their crucifixion and resurrection. And also, this brother here, I believe he's coming back. I believe the Lord's given us dreams that he's coming back. But how could he do this if he's coming back, right? That's what's our question. Well, you know, some people fall in order to get their eyes opened. And that they're following man. That they're trying to impress somebody other than the Lord. Well, that's all I can remember, but after these bad dreams about them trying to kill David and the factious just off, not realizing what they are doing, I got a morning verse, and it was Ezekiel 37:7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, an earthquake. You know, I know about this earthquake. It's coming, and it's sure enough going to happen right in the middle of that revival. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And she says, Amen. Lord, let this revival be for all who are off doing their own thing and are not running after you with all their heart. Yeah, I say, woohoo, you know. After the crucifixion and resurrection of the Davids, they are the Son of Man in verse 3, and they will bring the revival to the church. With the earthquakes and the tsunamis will come the Lord. He is the revival. He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. Where it went on the morning of the third day. So let me read 3 and 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Well, looking at them today, the dead church out there, it don't really look like they could. But we know they can't, right? Again, he said unto me, prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Okay, so now he's getting ready to prophesy. I'm going to verse 10 here. So, he called him Son of Man, which is the man-child. It was the man-child Jesus. Ezekiel was a type of that. He was called the Son of Man, and he was the one that prophesied and spoke the word that brought the revival. Okay, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Wow, there's a whole lot of people dead in Christianity. Dead to the Lord, dead to the Word. They're in the world, they're fallen into corruption, they're miserable. And they don't know why. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. You might as well say the church. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We're clean cut off. Clean cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will open your graves, and will cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people. In other words, they're spiritually dead, and he's resurrecting them. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. Now, this just happens to align with the beginning of the tribulation period, because God's people, Israel, you know, after the Pharaoh and his army died in the Red Sea, in which we are watching that process happen now, and it's going to be even more as it leads up to the time of the man-child coming forth, right? And I will put my spirit in you. And, of course, at the Red Sea, they were baptized in the spirit, in the cloud and in the sea, right? And you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So that's the revival that the Lord is going to bring forth. And he's going to raise up a mighty army. And if the modern factious Pharisees knew what kind of powerful enemy they would make by crucifying him, they would never do it. Because this is a repeat of history. Because he is the stone which the builders inadvertently will make their own head. 1 Peter 2:7 says, "For you therefore that believe is the preciousness, but for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner." Yes, thank you, Father. Well, Debbie Fenske on 6-7 sent me this word, and I knew it was dead on and proper. We called it, "But the Lord Will Deliver." Good morning, David. I have a beloved brethren gathered, and the beloved brethren gathered there this morning. Here is what I feel the Lord has me to share with you this morning. This is our answer concerning this. I'm saying this. This is our answer concerning any physical aspect of the crucifixion in the dreams. And on the same day as we were commanded to pray for the man-child in Sue's dream, below, which I'm going to share with you, we received this. Jeremiah 39:15-18. Listen carefully. Verse 17. "But I will deliver thee in that day, says the Lord. And thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid." Praise God. "For I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but you shall have your life as a prize of war, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord." Hallelujah, she says. Amen, I say. And this came just after I told Michael the evening before that I was asking for a balance of how physical or spiritual this crucifixion would be. So pray, saints, and we will win. As you can see, it's going to be spiritual, but not physical. And then Sue Gilbert, which she mentioned, Satan makes war, is what we call this one. She got this on 6-7-17. Sue said, "In the dream, I was in my car driving to the prayer meeting and found the ground was level, no hill, and saw the house looked different. There was a two-car garage with both doors open. Leon was standing on the right side of one garage door close to the house. The house and garage were connected and all white. There were men, people dressed in black, with black cloaks and black hoods on their heads. And they all had their backs to me." Well, These were standing outside the house and looking at the house, as she's going to go on to tell you. But this looks like Satanists, who, along with other antichrists, are making war with President Trump and make war with us in a parallel that was revealed to us. You know, Satan knows who he wants out of the way. And he is the one that sends these people. Even though it is according to the will of God, Satan is destroying his own house by what he's doing, just like he did the last time. You know, if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord, right? He makes the same mistakes over and over. Anyway, so the Satanists made a worldwide call to their people to curse Trump recently, but the Christians prayed and God nullified it. And so what we need to do is war for the man-child too, saints, because the devil knows who his enemy is. And he's using his Satanists the same way. He need to come against the man-child. He's trying to destroy the man-child. He knows what danger he's in. His kingdom is in from this. The elite know it too, by the way. They're Satanists. And Sue said, I couldn't see their faces, but they were all looking at the main door as if they were waiting for something. I couldn't tell if the door was opened or not. I wondered if there was a funeral going on, and it bothered me. Well, they expect to kill the man-child, but their father, Satan, already did that, and it didn't work. Using the son of perdition, they did that, right? And at the cross. She said, so I backed up and asked Leon where I should park. And then I heard a voice say, start praying for the man-child. Did you hear that? Start praying for the man-child. The Lord uses our prayers to bring to pass his will. So we need to do this. The voice wasn't coming from Leon or the people. I felt like it was the Lord speaking to me audibly. And then I woke up. After praying some, I realized I needed a word, and by faith at random got Song of Solomon 8:5. And my finger was on coming up. Who is coming up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Well, I know who. It's the bride. Comes up out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved, Jesus in the man-child body. You know, Jesus came in the body of the Son of David, and once again, he's going to do that. History repeats. Beneath the apple tree, I awakened you. There, your mother was in travail or in labor with you. There, she was in labor and gave you birth. Well, you know, the bride came out of the larger church body, just like Esther and the Shulamite of Song of Solomon came out of them to marry the king, right? So that's a dead-on ringer. I emailed David the dream and felt led to ask the Lord for a sign if he wanted me to fast and pray, and I got 3 heads out of 3 coins for a yes. So I believe, too, that we've received other words which I don't have here for fasting and praying. So I ask you to fast and pray and to do warfare against the factious Satanists, etc., and for the man-child, and, of course, for the bride. Also, a song came to me after this dream. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Uh-oh. History is going to repeat, and they haven't seen it. And most of the church doesn't know it. They don't know the wonderful thing that God's about to do, right? So pray, saints, pray. Pray. Put your trust in the Lord and pray. Do warfare, fast, you know, talk to the Lord. And Eve Brast, on 6-9, received this, which she called my line of distinction. My line of distinction. As I was sitting at my mother's dining room table down here in Texas, where she was visiting, on Sunday, June the 5th, I was reading 1 Peter chapter 2. When my eyes read the words, unto whom coming, quote unquote, quote, in verse 4, Father spoke to me and said, I am now making a greater distinction in these days between those that are mine and those who are not. Okay, you'll recognize the truth here as you hear this. 1 Peter 2 and 1. Putting away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Okay, you can't be factious if you do this. You just can't. It's not possible. It's their nature. As newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, without deception, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, unto whom coming, there's where she put her finger, a living stone rejected indeed of men, but with God elect and precious, unto whom coming. Okay, the person that is coming as a living stone will be rejected of men. That's what he's saying. But with God elect and precious, you also as living stones. Notice the bride, typed by Eve, and Jesus and the man-child are living stones that are rejected of the apostates. And you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And of course, we sacrifice our old flesh. In the midst of the fiery trial, it burns up the wood, hay, and the stubble of the old flesh on the altar of God. These are the people who have made a covenant with God by sacrifice, as the Bible says. Because it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Yes, Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Obey Jesus. Submit to his word. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. For you, therefore, that believe is the preciousness. But for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected. The builders rejected that stone in Jesus' day, and they're rejecting that stone in these days too. The same was made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Yet, depending upon how you treat the man-child today, is going to either condemn you or justify you. That's what's happening. We've watched it. For they stumble at the word, being disobedient. Yep, the word has been given to them, every one of them, and they all refused it. Whereunto also they were appointed. Why were they appointed? Because they were trying to hide their sins and be a part of the body as tares mixed in among the wheat. But they were bundled. But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims. It means you're just passing through. You're not trying to stay anywhere. You're not trying to make this world your kingdom. You're not lusting after the things of the world. You're just passing through. You can't pack it with you, so you just pass on through, right? To abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that wherein they speak against you as evildoers, because they do, if you're righteous, they will speak against you, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. As you know, the Lord is coming in a visitation. We've seen the verses over and over. It will come with an earthquake, just as we read just a few minutes ago, which is a corporate earthquake. Actually, it goes all the way around the earth. A major, major earthquake. So, they may speak evil of you, but there may come a time in the visitation that they repent. I asked Father for a confirmation of this, and then yesterday I met a friend of mine for lunch, and she told me that her mother had had an open vision where she saw a gray mist, and as she watched, the mist separated into a pure white cloud on the right where the sheep go, right, and deep darkness on the left. That's a separation of the holy and the unholy through the faction movement. Faction means separation. It's a perfect demons that God uses to test and to separate the true body from the false. And when the vision ended, Father told her the same thing that he spoke to me above in almost the same wording. Oh, praise God. Confirmation. He also told her it will not be possible for people to straddle the fence any longer. That's amazing, because the brother I was talking about a few minutes ago who fell under the law to seek to justify himself, he had a vision of falling off the fence. And basically the vision was that you're going to fall on one side or the other, but you're going to fall. Okay? So I had my confirmation, and when I got back to the house, I got my notebook and asked Father to speak to me concerning this word that he had given me and my friend's mother. And he continued with these words. Quote, this distinction will continue at an accelerated rate. Those who do not belong to me are falling further and further under the curse of rebellion and sin. We see it. While those who are mine are becoming more and more inundated with my light, which is the word, right? Receiving greater and greater blessings, power, and provision. Most people are not realizing what is being offered to them today, you know. This is power over darkness in all its forms. Oh, praise the Lord. My people will be a distinguished people, walking tall and strong amidst the dark and low places. You will be greatly encouraged and emboldened as you witness this distinction becoming clearer and clearer. It will be evident to all. Well, it is pretty evident to me. It has been for some time. And the Lord is saying he's going to do that even more boldly. I will cause the peoples of the earth to move to one side or the other as I draw my line of distinction around the whole earth. Well, it's a strange thing, really strange thing. But as I said a few minutes ago, there's been a parallel between political landscape with President Trump being made war on from the left, from the Satanists, on and on, the corrupt people all gathered together. I mean, a person is known by their enemies. Why is the devil and all of his gang so hard against Trump? Because he's destroying their one world order. It's not going to come as soon as they thought. But we can see the exact same spirits, the goofy spirits, all over these people. They don't have to have any reasoning for why they believe something. After all, Mr. Obama tried his best to start a world war over something that has been proven never happened. How many people would he have killed had he succeeded? How come somebody's not looking at this? Oh, my. Nobody, like Putin said, nobody wins a world war. Not nowadays. So as we can clearly see, the world also is moving to the far left and to the right with the same exact demons that the church is being attacked with. Faction and slander and witchcraft and hatred, etc., etc. Separation is happening. So Chris Stewart had a revelation I'm going to share with you. We called it The Proud Devour Souls. And she got this on 6-9. I was in a large home with an interior loft walkway all the way around the spacious first floor living area. There were sofas and overstuffed chairs and several people milling around and watching a big screen TV. A tall, well-dressed man wearing trousers and a blue long-sleeve dress shirt was standing at the top of the stairs on this elevated balcony. And my thought is a place of pride, self-lifted up, like Judas. John 13 and 18 says, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth my bread lifteth up his heel against me. And Isaiah 2 and 12, for there shall be a day of the Lord of hosts upon all that is proud and haughty, and upon all that is lifted up. There it is. And it shall be brought low. And that happens too in this dream. So, and Psalm 83 and 2, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult. Boy, do they. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They're lifted up. They are proud. They are arrogant. And they got nothing to base that on. Nothing to be proud of. Instead, they should be ashamed. And even the people that are fighting against Trump on the other side of this parallel, they too should be ashamed at the people that they're aligning with, the most corrupt in all the world. And the situation is the same on our side of this parallel. And Chris went on to say, he would activate some sort of handheld device. I don't remember if it was an MP3 or a video or what. But I'll just say this. Through communications in general, these people impart their demons of witchcraft and faction to those that are willing to listen or watch. And it's been consistent. We tell people, if you're going to read that garbage, you're going to get taken out. Then as I watched from downstairs, he would begin to pull people's souls from out of the wall next to him and devour them. Dozens of them, one after another. Well, pulling them out of the wall represents pulling them out of sanctification. Sanctification means separation from the world, from the enemy, so on and so forth, from the flesh. So pulling them out of sanctification, which is the beast devouring them, because we're either in Christ or in the beast. So if you give up your sanctification, you will be devoured by the beast. And by the way, the Lord has been very patient for a long time. And just as Eve pointed out, his patience is about up. Now he has to make a distinction. And this is like the faction movement devouring people. Like the dragon trying to devour the man-child and then the woman in the wilderness, right? And Galatians 5 and 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Because these people become consumed when they try to devour God's people. And they consume one another too. It just seemed normal, like part of the party or fellowship that was going on in the house. Then the dream would end and start all over again. This happened 3 or 4 times. Well, this cycle has been going on, and the temptation to be unforgiving and critical even while in hidden sin seems to be what pulls the souls out of sanctification. In effect, it is faction to separate uncleanness from the body. And Chris said, finally, I realized the evil of what I was seeing. So the next time the dream started, I jumped up to the foot of the stairs and began to yell at the soul eater things like, in the name of Jesus, or I come against you with the blood of Jesus, or fire of God burn you, and other warfare tactics. As I continued, he became shorter and smaller, because they have no power against God or God's truly sanctified people. So pray. Don't bother if you're double-minded and in the world, you know, you're no help. Pray, saints, pray. Cast down this evil. And when he dropped the device on the floor, I ran over and stomped on it. Took away his power, right? We have authority to do that. We have authority over all the power of the enemy, right? And finally, he had fallen off the balcony and was about the size of a child. And I called him a devil and reminded him of his short-term future. I continued until he disappeared and the dream ended. Truly, the devil does not like to hear about his future. He doesn't stick around a lot. Demons don't either. I've done that. I've used that tactic too. They hate it. They hate you reminding them. Well, all this sounds like real good advice to bring an end to this. Let's pray and exercise our dominion over this Judas movement to devour the saints. Amen. There are many who fall into the category of being factious to separate us from the pure body of Christ. Jesus is our healer, for instance. The same yesterday, today, and forever, he's called. But many seek to separate us from that with their witchcraft, pharmakia, rebellion, right? They want to do this to the people of God. Sadly, people listen to them. They believe when they tell them that they have this or that or the other. They believe that instead of believing that Jesus already bore this curse for us. They believe that, and then they got to deal with it. And many of them die from it. They're getting separated from the true body of Christ. Many are missing out on the consistent and free by grace spiritual and physical healing available in Christ by simply applying the word. To abide in Christ is to abide in his works. And he never practiced medicine, but healing. He don't need methods to heal, as you noticed reading the Bible. Why turn him into somebody that he's not? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, even the word physician, falsely translated, actually means healer, which Christ and Luke were not by man's means, but by God's. They were healers. He didn't say they were physicians. Guess who put that in there? Your modern age people, translators, so on and so forth. No, God hasn't stooped to any of this. Because that gives glory to man, and it costs, and grace is free. Okay? I'm just using this as an example. That there are many other applications that can be fitting into this one we're talking about here, because all of its faction is to separating you from the real body of Christ. Guess who lives in the body of Christ? Jesus. How are you not separating from Jesus when you will not do things his way? I want to show you a good example of a narrower application, one of many narrower applications of this dream. Inside the big picture are many smaller pictures, but all of it is to separate us from the benefits of Christ. All of it. So, Chris said this. She said, "We thank you, Father, for these brilliant and inspired interpretations," because she saw my interpretation. "He has many things to say to us. The thing that came to me seems a more narrow application. It's connected to Elisha's recent prayer request regarding the infiltration of the New Age Reiki healing practitioners into Christian circles and into the marketplace under the guise of Christian medical centers." No, this is not Christian. "That the man at the top of the stairs, perhaps a practitioner, represents one of the Reiki ascended masters." She brings this issue to our attention, calling for us to join her in prayer against this yet another tool of the enemy. Yes, and the enemy has many tools to drag us down on the earthly. To drag us down to the world, out of our heavenly places in Christ. If you're in Christ, you do things the way Christ does. If you're in Christ, you use the word like Christ did. That was his method of healing. She said, "In my dream, it was like the church sits idly by watching this happen." Yes, this is true. "And many other corruptions are separating or factioning you from the true body of Christ. So repent, read the Bible, find out what God expects us to do as disciples, which is a learner and a follower of the Master. You study him, you do things his way," right? And then Deborah Horton received this on 6-9. Look at all these we're receiving here. I mean, obviously the Lord is saying, hey, get ready. Something's coming. Right? Start praying. We call this, don't be cast down from heavenly places. Deb said, I've been trying to remember the whole dream, but what I have is these two fragments, and they are they're obviously very important fragments. Part one, the character, whose name was Spike. He was an evil vampire from the old TV show Buffy, the Vampire Slayer. I never watched that. From 1997 to 2005, and was attacking people. Spike, attacking people. And she says, a vampire is something dead that survives by drinking the blood of the living. Well, like the factious spirits use their hosts, who are dead, to feed on the living. They've been seen in dreams with spiked hats. They are porcupine Christians, I call them, right? They're offended at everything and retaliating against the bride, as typed by Buffy and the man-child, so on. Buffy here seems to represent the bride who has authority over the darkness. And Deb said, it's a show to indicate we each have our part to play. Right, amen. She said, in the first part that I remember, there was a woman in some sort of superhero costume. Well, I believe that this represents the bride, because most of the church is not super anything. The bride will be used to save the church, just as in the book of Esther and in Song of Solomon. All right. So, I mean, this superhero's got to be somebody who saves, right? That's why I believe this is the bride. Deb said, I think the costume looked vaguely like the one Wonder Woman wears. Well, that's from the old TV series and DC Comics. Which has a tiara, because Wonder Woman is depicted as an Amazonian princess, according to the story. Well, even though the larger church has been given the crown authority, the bride will manifest it in obedience, like Buffy, to cast down the forces of darkness that control the larger church. The woman in Revelation 12 that goes into the wilderness, she has a crown. And she stands on the moon, meaning she reflects the light of the sun. Now, her crown is not something she has manifested there, because when Jesus, the man-child, took his group into the wilderness, they learned that authority in the wilderness. They received that, the perfection and the manifestation of that authority in the wilderness. The woman doesn't have that at this time. That's a position that we have in Christ. It has to be owned, as they say. So even though the larger church has been given the crown of authority, the bride will manifest it in obedience, like Buffy, to cast down the forces of darkness that control the larger church. She was hanging by her arms and dangling from a steel girder way, way up high somewhere. I guess it was a skyscraper under construction. Maybe the church, because we have to start building that, right? It's the beginning of the building of the temple when the Lord comes. She said, the bride, the New Jerusalem. That's who she believes it is. Ephesians 3 and 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now that makes you a superhero. To the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend, not comprehend, as some versions say. It's apprehend. With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ. In other words, all of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now that's a superhero there. She was dangling because her feet were in the heavens. Her travail to bring forth is the hanging on to the heavenly promises. She wasn't walking or dwelling on the earth. Amen. We notice that's where the beast gets to step on you. Right? He has authority there. Spike, which I'm calling the factious, was tugging on her arms and pushing on her arms, trying to get her to let go. But she wouldn't. Faction, of course, is trying to get the bride to fall from her heavenly position in Christ to the earth. He kept getting more and more angry. Well, that's exactly what they do. Finally, he became so enraged at his failure at the time that he left to go and fight and kill some other people down on the ground. That's where he has authority, right? On those that dwell on the earth, as Revelation says. So he can cast down those who dwell in the earthly realm, live after the flesh. He was thinking he could return later to finish the woman. That was his thinking. Well, we know better than that. And she said, Spike's outstanding physical feature was that he had platinum blonde hair in the series. And she gives 2 Corinthians 7:14. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Yes, it's true. If you're looking for the devil's preachers, go out there. They're acting like ministers of righteousness. And then part two. Well, no, first I'm going to say, she said, I asked for and received a word by random computer for part one. Proverbs 18:11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and has a high wall in his own imagination. The rich in worldly ways and in thinking are lifted up. They're full of false pride. And they will fall. And they will fall to Satan and his minions, you know. So Spike also fell. And part two, Spike is using a large and heavy two-edged sword to slash people into pieces. In other words, separating them, which is what faction is. It's what factious people do. Dismembering the body, as the spirit of faction uses words of slander and deception to do. This was happening in what appeared to be a studio sound stage. I believe this represents engineering words for the purpose of affecting others like the spirit of faction does. It doesn't have to be the truth at all. They know it's not the truth. The people he was attacking were all in various costumes, but the main one I recall is someone in a Roman soldier getup. This could represent, she says, the revived Roman Empire, which is actually under attack by the Satanists, yeah, who want their own version of a one-world order. This is true on a natural realm, on that side of the balance, right? But it's also true on our side of the balance. He was cut to ribbons by Spike. Spike could fly and swoop down on the people, and he did so with great fury. Amen. The concept of the TV show, which was based on the movie, in other words, from Wikipedia, it says, Buffy is a slayer, one in a long line of young women chosen for a specific mission to seek out and destroy vampires, demons, and other forces of darkness. Yep. In other words, the bride is a demon chaser who will teach the church to do the same. Unlike her predecessors, Buffy establishes a group of supportive friends who aids her in her battles with evil, including Willow, Xander, Cordelia. Her battles with evil are frequent, since Sunnydale, where Buffy and friends live, sits atop a gateway to the realm of the demons. I asked for and received by faith a word by random computer for part two, Proverbs 27 and 12. A prudent man seeth the evil and hideth himself. Yeah, hide in Christ, right? But the simple pass on and suffer for it. And this is a warning to avoid the evil. And this is a perfect place for Bill Steenland's revelation, Captured by Faction. The prudent man seeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. Bill got this on the 11th. I had a dream, and I was playing baseball with some of my older brother Joseph's friends. We were throwing a softball around, and there was a baseball diamond to my left. And I turned to see a woman I work with named Heather. I believe she was simply used as a type of someone's spiritual man. So Heather, Wikipedia says that this name in the masculine form is Heath, H-E-A-T-H. Well, immediately it brought my mind to Jeremiah 17 and 6. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, a salt land and not inhabited. And in this dream, she truly did not see the good and turned away from it, didn't hide like the wise, right? And only to be captured by faction. She was hiding behind a pile of wood, Bill said, and she built to cover herself from sight, but she could still be seen. Well, first of all, you can't hide from God. Second of all, you can't hide from Satan. The carnal are depending on the things of the world for safety, aren't they? I noticed a huge python serpent behind her and said, Heather, come out from there. There is a huge python behind you. She wouldn't listen and acted as if I was lying. I told her, Heather, we talked about this before, hon. There is a python behind you, and you know it's there. Get out from behind there. It's not safe. I asked for a word by faith at random concerning a man that fell into faction recently, and I put my finger on Acts 16 and 16. Amazing, right? When I looked down at that, I said, oh my goodness. And it came to pass, as we were going to the place of prayer, that a certain maid having a spirit of divination, which in the Greek, some of you have a footnote in your Bible, says, a spirit, a python. So this was in direct request concerning a person who was deceived, and a deceiving spirit, of course, you know, can be a serpent. A spirit of Python met us, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And Bill said, as I was saying this, the Python moved from behind her on her right-hand side to the left-hand side. I kept telling her to come to me, but she wouldn't listen. She started sidestepping to the left. That's where the goats go, right? They're stepping right into deception, right into trouble, because they received not a love of the truth. God sent them a delusion. While keeping her eyes on me as if I couldn't be trusted. She came very close to the python and looked down towards the serpent. And as she looked at the serpent, she turned into a serpent. And the python violently wrapped around her. This is true. You need to get away from people like that, from faction. She was taken by the faction and separated from the body of Christ. Then Bill said, I said to the people around me, give me a knife. But at this point, she was a serpent as well. She became a serpent too. That's what happens to them. They receive the factious witchcraft spirits and become just like those who deceived them. Bill said, when she turned into a serpent, she gave me a look with her eyes. It was a very sorrowful look, like she was saying, I made a mistake. So listen to the Word of God. Listen to the people of God. Hide yourself. Hide in Christ, the secret place of the Most High. Wow, and we've had so many. Here's one from Michael Hare. He received this on 6-6. We called it Avoiding the Serpent, just like this one. Isn't that amazing? Now, these two did not know about this. They didn't know each other had had this revelation. And Michael said, I was reading in bed and fell asleep for a moment and saw myself in a flash dream coming down two wooden steps to the ground. And as I was stepping to the ground, there was a large, dark, gray snake with yellow polka dots. It didn't have the diamond-shaped head like most venomous snakes, but I knew it was very poisonous. And when I saw the snake on the last step to the ground, I veered my foot to the right. Well, Heather stepped to the left and right into the path of the serpent, right? I veered my foot to the right to miss the snake. I received these verses the next morning concerning this dream. Jeremiah 8, 1 through 4. At that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven, which they have loved. So they were a bunch of idolaters, and especially with their old leadership. Have you ever noticed that the denominations pick some guy that was a great reformer, and they claim him, but they look nothing like him? They're in idolatry with this certain man, who was a great reformer in history, but they look nothing like him. And if they would just read what the man said and what the man did, they would be totally full gospel people. But they don't do it. Think of how many denominations are just like that. They're just like this. which they have served, and after which they have walked, and which they have sought, and which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be for dung on the face of the earth. So they walked after and worshipped dead men. What about a living man, right? Do you need any man to call yourself by? Well, I mean, that was kind of rebuked by Paul, wasn't it? I'm of Apollos, I'm Paul. You know, no, we don't call ourselves after any man. It's the Lord that we're fashioning ourselves after, right? That's what a mathetes does, a follower, a learner and a follower, a disciple, right? And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue that remain of this evil family, that remain in all the places whither I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. Well, the church is sound asleep. They don't know. Judgment's coming. Captivity is coming. Martial law is coming. And all the things that they loved of this world are going to be gone. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall men fall and not rise up again? Shall one turn away and not return? Well, I suppose the Lord's talking about these awesome judgments are going to cause a lot of people to rethink their position, and especially their dead religion and the dead men that lead their dead religion. Well, I didn't understand the first one, Michael said, so I asked for one that would be easy to understand for me. And my finger landed in the New Testament appendix on these verses. Joel 2, 15 through 17. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. This is what I believe the Lord is calling us to now, saints. We're coming close to the end here. The sign in the heavens of Revelation 12 is right around the corner. We don't have time to mess around. These things have to happen before the end. That is what? Well, the crucifixion of the man-child, the disciples hiding themselves, and so on. And then, of course, the resurrection and the revival. But he's asking us now to blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Can you say that? Spare thy people, O Lord. You have not because you ask not. The Lord needs a solid voice from his people, calling out to him. In defense of the man-child, in defense of the bride, in defense of our Christian heritage, and casting down the works of darkness, you know, just as Chris showed us how to do there in that revelation. And give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Martial law is coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. Going into captivity. How many times have we gotten verses about the apostate church going into captivity? They did before the Assyrian beast, when the bride was spared. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Well, I don't think the people of the world respect the God of most Christians, because they've got another Jesus. And then he got Joel 3:17-21. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy. Woo-hoo. The bride is sanctified. She's ready. Ready to fight the battle now. Ready to raise up the church now. and there shall no stranger pass through her any more. Well, now, notice, she's just got cleaned up from the strangers that were putting on a good show, but got taken out because they were earthly, as we've seen through all this revelation. So after being sanctified of the corrupt, what happens? Verse 18, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down sweet wine. Who is this for? It's for the bride, Zion, Jerusalem. It's not for the rest of the church. The rest of the church is going into trouble. The mountains shall drop down sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk. And all the brooks of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord, which is where? In the bride. And shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation. There's a destruction coming upon the world. Remember when the Israelites were getting ready to go into the wilderness, there was a devastating destruction in Egypt. Egypt shall be desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. So Edom represents the faction. Those of the seed of Esau who sold their birthright because of a root of bitterness and persecuted their brother who was the chosen seed. Remember, the persecuted are the crucified. And all this was, this destruction of Edom was for the violence done to the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. So Michael got these verses by faith at random, and doesn't it hit the nail on the head? They've shed innocent blood. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. And I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. So he's going to finish the work of cleansing the blood of Zion. Your blood, the life of the flesh, is in the blood. Your very nature is in your blood, right? He said he would finish that work. And of course, that's what Jesus did with the disciples. They recognized him for who he was. They followed him. They came out of the world. They dropped their businesses, followed him. They were righteous people, according to what they knew. But then Jesus was perfecting them to walk as he walked. After I received these verses, the Lord put it in my heart to ask if I represented the man-child ministry in this dream. And I received two heads for yes. We've had other revelations that told that Michael was in the man-child, you know. Praise be to God. And I believe that this dream was related to the dream Sue Gilbert had about the hooded men in front of the house. Yeah. Wow, what a bunch of revelation. What a, we need to pray, right? We need to draw near to the Lord and pray and intercede. Spare thy people, O Lord. The beast, the devil, the faction have a plan. Their plan, as we can see, is, first of all, to destroy the man-child. And according to Revelation 12, second of all, to destroy the woman in the wilderness. Because they are a member of the body of the beast. Everyone who walks after the mind of the flesh is walking after the beast, and they're a member of its body. Only those who walk after the Spirit are abiding in Christ Jesus. So as the beast, they seek to, as the dragon beast, they seek to destroy both the man-child and the bride. And we see it happening. But they will fail to do anything but cleanse the bride by removing people that are leaven to the bride. See, that's their job. That's what they do. All of this is God's divine order and His wisdom. And it's already happened throughout history, so we know that history just keeps on repeating, right? Glory be to God. So, Lord, you're showing us more and more of your beautiful plan. You use vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor for your glory. You use the vessels of dishonor to crucify the vessels of honor. And then you destroy the vessels of dishonor in that order. That has been your historic manner of dealing with things. Because you work all things at the counsel of your own will. And, Lord, you have authority over all vessels. Everything on this earth serves you, as the Bible says. Vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. You even had a plan for Satan to use the wicked to crucify the Christ. It was your plan, according to Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. It was your plan to use them. And now today, you're doing the same thing, Lord. And we praise your wisdom, because the people who are not who they seem to be, like Matt's friend, very close friend, whom he thought was a Christian, found out that he fell away to faction. So, Lord, we know that the people like that have been among us, and we know that we're on the cleaner end of the spectrum today because of this. We can see the fruit of it. We can see the power of it. Every time it happens, we have more power, more fruit, more relationship with you, Lord. We see the fruit of what you're doing. But now you're calling upon us to cast down the forces of darkness, to win this battle. And Father, we take that wisdom and that authority to do just that, to cast down the forces of darkness, to cast down the faction, the witchcraft, the wicked that are seeking to destroy your people and to pollute your kingdom. Even in their ignorance. Nobody can get further from Christ than somebody who once knew Him. So, Father, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Brethren, please pray and exercise your authority and come against the forces of darkness. And God bless you. Good night.